John sees Jesus and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world." It's John's confession. That's the church's confession throughout all the ages. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, has come and he takes away the sins of the whole world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins, your sins and my sins, the sins of all people. Behold the Lamb. Andrew hears John and he immediately goes to his brother, Simon Peter, and says, "Come and see." And Peter hears the message. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Doesn't take Peter very long to come around to believe in him. Peter has some of the greatest confessions of faith recorded for us in the scriptures. Like in John chapter 6, just a few chapters later, verse 68, Simon Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Words of eternal life. What a great confession. Today the church celebrates Life Sunday with the church around the globe. Words of eternal life I'd like to look at a little bit longer. See, in the very beginning of the scriptures, we hear God say, everything is good. Tov. In Hebrew, it's tov. It's good. It's the Lord's refrain throughout the first 6 days of creation. He speaks his word. He says things like, "Let there be light and dark, and it's good. Land and sea, it's good. Stars, moon, sun, it's good. Birds, fish, plants, animals, it's all good." He looks at all that he creates by his word alone, and he says that it is tov ma'od, very good. Then we zero in on Adam, the man God created good. And the Lord looks at him and we hear for the very first time that this is not good. It's not good for man to be alone. See, the goodness of creation is always connected to life. When creation brings forth and supports life, then it is good. But Adam is alone, and he remains alone. He can have no children, no family, no creation can come from Adam alone. It's not good for Adam to be alone. He can't produce life alone, not until Eve is given to him. And then things are very good. Very good because now humans, which God created, are intimately connected to life. When the two become one flesh, life is created. New life. The one flesh union of their consummation. I don't care what my Hebrew professors said at seminary. The two will become one flesh is realized when a baby is made. The child literally is one flesh from two people. When you see your child, you see the two have become one flesh in this child that comes forth from a marriage. And when God finished the creation and gave the gift of marriage and the promise of children and life and the joy of life, he rests from his work, and then the devil gets busy. He finds Adam and Eve in the garden, and the devil begins to nudge them away from life. Towards death. And the nudge sounds like this. Did God really say? It's his oldest trick in the book. Did God really say? This is the sound of the devil's death nudge. He always tempts you to question the creator, the giver of life. Did God really say that you're not supposed to eat the fruit? Did God really say that on the day that you eat the fruit, you will die? Did he really say that? The devil is the great deceiver. He is real. He is alive. He is the chief liar. Do you really believe that God said that about you? Do you really believe that you're his child? Do you really believe that your sins are forgiven? Do you really believe, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Do you really believe it? See, if God's word is truth and God's word is life, well, then the devil's attempts are always twofold. He will tempt you away from God's word, away from life itself. Jesus says in John chapter 10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The thief, our ancient foe, tempts you and I every day away from that precious word of God. Adam and Eve are tempted away from the word. And when they are tempted away from the word, they are tempted away from life itself. He has the words of eternal life, but they eat and they died, and we and everything else in the whole world are dying along with them. We often lament that our culture is a culture of death. And no doubt that that is true. Life is vulnerable today from the very beginning at conception all the way to its natural end, and it is devalued every step of the way through. The needs of parents are put above the needs of the littlest ones among us. And we mourn the murdering of babies. We lament the medical killing of the elderly. But it's important for us to remember that humanity's death march began long before Roe v. Wade and the push for legalized euthanasia. It began all the way back in the garden. It began when the serpent said, "Did God really say?" And it continues to march to the same beat today. And it's this funeral march that Jesus, the Lamb of God, has come to stop. Jesus isn't content with death. He's not happy to stand by and watch us fall into the grave and come to condemnation and ruin. He has come so that you and your littlest one might have life and have it abundantly. And he does it all by his own life, by his own death, by his own resurrection from the grave. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus comes. He puts a stop to our death march with his life, conceived in the womb of Mary and placed into a manger. He stops our death march with his holiness. He interrupts our rebellion with his crucifixion. He takes our sin and our punishment and the just wrath that we deserved, yours and mine. He suffers in our place. His death is Adam's death. His death is Eve's death. It's every sinner's death. He is the Lamb of God who has taken away your sins all by God's grace alone. And he gives this all, forgiveness to you, in his precious word. Lord, to whom shall we go? Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. That was Peter's confession. It was Peter's confession after a very difficult eternal word of life from Jesus' speech recorded for us in John chapter 6, where Jesus says, I am the bread from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. It was too much for the crowds that day, too much for their death-marching minds. Did God really say that? Did Jesus really mean that? The devil asks. There were thousands that day who came to Jesus just to have their stomachs filled with bread, but they don't stay for the teaching. They don't stay for the eternal word. They just want their stomachs full, but their souls can only be nourished by the word of God, by the eternal word, the word of life. And they refused that word. Many began leaving Jesus that day, even some of his own disciples. Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, "Do you want to leave as well?" And Simon Peter answers beautifully, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter sees with divine clarity what we must also see. Jesus' words are like no other. His words are words of eternal life. His words overcome death. His words forgive sin. His words triumph over the devil. His words send the evil spirits reeling. His word will pull us all out of the grave on the last day. Jesus has words of eternal life, words that fell the old evil foe. With one little word, the devil is vanquished. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And you have his words, dear saints. You have the words of Jesus. Words of eternal life. For you hear his voice, you know his name, you're chosen and precious in his sight. You have life, abundant, forgiven, redeemed, precious life by his word. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord, Psalm 40, verse 3. God has made you new by the power of his word. You are loved and cherished by his word. He's pulled you out of the death march, and he's brought you into his marvelous light, all by the power of his precious word. You are loved by him. Now, the devil will not stand by. Did God really say? Did God really say that you are loved? Yes. Did God really say that your sins are forgiven? Yes. Did God really say that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, apart from works? Yes. Did God really say that you will be raised on the last day and that you will live forever with him? Yes, for Jesus has the final word, and his words are eternal life. And he has said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are never alone." For his words are for you. His life is for you. And that is very good. Amen.